Well, I want you to please keep praying for Miss Judy. She's not here with us today, and so she's feeling a little under the weather, so please keep Judy Whitson in your prayers. And then we're praying for Ed Russell, Miss Pam Mullins's dad, and we prayed right before the service, and they're just waiting for some more details about what's going on, but praise the Lord, it looks like the Lord's working already, and so hopefully we'll hear good news here in just a little bit, so keep praying for these different folks, if you would, please. Well, I want you to, if you're able to, just turn to Romans chapter 15. I want to preach a message that's a little odd for a Sunday morning, possibly. We're not in a missions conference. We're not trying to bring you around to give, but I just feel led, and I'll tell you a minute about this, and trust the Lord to bless us as you find your place there. In Romans chapter 15, we'll look at verse 22. As you find your place there, I did hear this story, though, about this widower and widow that this couple, they weren't a couple, but they were both lost their spouse some years before. They had been going to their high school reunion. They went to high school together, but they never were interested back then. But they'd been going for the last 20 years without fail to their high school reunion. And now here they were on the 50th high school reunion. And so they were there, and both of them single at this point. And so they had gotten connected with another couple, singles there at the reunion. So they went out one time afterwards, and these two hit it off, the widow and the widower, and they hit it off, and they were just talking more, and finally they noticed they were smiling at one another, and he said, well, I'm not going to waste my opportunity. He said before the night was over, after this date, he just got down on one knee. It took him a little longer to get down there, but he got down one knee, and he just proposed. And she said, after about just a few seconds, yes, yes. She said, would love to. He was so excited. His just heart skipped a beat, and he's good. And so he went home. He's just walking on cloud nine, and he got up the next day, though, and he was still feeling happy, and he remembered, of course, the whole evening. His memory was not as good as it had been. He remembered the most of the evening, and he knew he was out with her, and he knew that he asked, but he couldn't remember what she said, which is kind of a little bit of a spot to be in. I don't know if she said yes or no, or not really, or whatnot. And so he tried to rack his brain, but he could not get to a place where he could remember what she said. And so finally, he just brought it down to where he said, well, I'm just going to have to call her. And so he called her, and he fumbled around his words for a little while, and he started off saying, I'm sorry. Now, listen, I don't have a very good memory, and I'm sorry about this, and I had such a good time. And she said, oh, okay, yes, yes, yes. She said, well, when I asked you if you'd marry me, she said, yes. He said, did you say yes or no? She said, oh, I said, yes. Yes, I will. I was so happy about it, and I meant it with all my heart, you silly man. I meant it. Yes, I wanted to do it. And so the widower, oh, he was so delighted at this point. And then from the other end of the phone, she said back to him, though, said, I'm so glad you called, because I remember that I said yes, but I just couldn't remember who I said yes to. So they're apparently made for each other. Well, I've got a message this morning that I can take you back to my office, where I feel confident that the Lord led us in being here this morning, but it's not necessarily my normal on Sunday morning, especially about missions. But I want to ask the question, why do we help missionaries? We have one here today going to Israel, and we're so thankful for him with all that's going there. They need more and more and more, and we certainly want to help them. But in Romans chapter 15, verse number 22, the Bible says this, the Apostle Paul used of God to write these words, for which cause also I have been much hindered from coming to you. He's writing these people at Rome. But now, having no more place in these parts, and having a great desire these many years to come unto you, whensoever I take my journey into Spain, I will come to you, for I trust to see you in my journey, and be brought on my way thitherward by you, if first I be somewhat filled with your company. But now I go into Jerusalem to minister unto the saints, for it hath pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor saints which are at Jerusalem. It hath pleased them verily, and their debtors they are. For if the Gentiles have been made partakers of their spiritual things, their duty is also to minister unto them in carnal things. I want to preach about this. Why help missionaries? Sometimes it's easy to wonder, well, why do we have so many missionaries? I think everybody in this room or that's watching would say, well, I know we're supposed to take missionaries on. I know we're supposed to help them get over there. But sometimes there's some mystery on how that even works, or how does that happen, or how do they get there? Here's a good brother going to somewhere. How did he get there? And each of us know that we have missionaries in from time to time, and we give to missions, and we're thankful, I know. But you might ask yourself, why so many? Well, I can tell you this. I spent the morning over at 10 o'clock session over here in the ministry house, and usually I'm not over there, but I can tell you one of the greatest joys I have is when we bring missionaries in and we take them to the ministry house, and we get to let them relax and we get to let them rest. One particular missionary wife had told Amy, she said, oh, it's just so calm and so peaceful here, and I just love it. And that person who was a difficult time was able to stay there for a little extended period, extended period. We'll come back to missions in then the fall. We'll have our missions month, Lord willing, in September. But why would we talk about it today? As again, I told you, the Lord seemed to just lead in this direction. And as we get to be a blessing to missionaries and we get to see them come through, we know that they're God's chosen servants to take the gospel to all the world. There's a young man that was talking to some of his friends about all about China, the different provinces, but specifically to one area. And he was talking very knowledgeably about the different areas in that region and some underground pastors and some different things that were going on for the work of the Lord. And the person he was talking to said, when did you go to China? He says, I never have been. He said, how do you know so much? He said, my roommate in college went there as a missionary. And we would talk as often as we could, as often as I could and he could. And he would tell me the different specifics about where he was ministering and how they had to be careful and this and that. And he was telling me the underground pastor's names and the region. And he said, I just prayed so much for that. And he even took a map out and he started marking everywhere that his missionary friend was at and serving. He adopted it. It became his parish. Well, if that guy can do that, why couldn't we do the same thing about some missionaries that come through here? You and I, we can take the gospel around the world. We can do it here, yes, but we can also be a help to those that take it around the world. So I want you to see this as God would help me, as we look at why we should help missionaries. Look in verse 23, if you would. The Bible says, but having no more place in these parts, having a great desire these many years to come unto you. Paul was already getting the work done. So I give you, first of all, why would we help missionaries? Because they're already getting the work done. Before he was going to come to Rome, as he hadn't been there yet, so history would tell us, he hadn't been there yet, but we would support missionaries. Or why do we have so many in our mission hallway down here? Because they're already spreading the message of the Lord Jesus Christ. You think about you and me. We go out to eat and we want to go to a restaurant. And sometimes we don't want to go to a bad restaurant. We want to go to a good one. So either you look on Yelp to get a review, or even better, you get somebody that you know and you trust their food knowledge, and you say, well, tell me a good place to take so-and-so. And say, oh, you can't go wrong when you go to here. Well, we want to go on a recommendation. And I'm thinking about this. They're already exceptional, that restaurant is, so you feel safe in going. Well, as we get to our missionaries here, please know that I'm going to always try to bring in good missionaries who are effective in getting the gospel to around the world. And so just like they send out talent scouts to maybe a ball game or to a high school match or to a tournament or something, and then they see those young people participating, they're wanting to come to their college. Well, we see here this missionary, Paul, he was already spreading the message. But why would we help him? Because they're already busy doing what God wants them to do. Well, why else would we help him? Look down in verse number 24, if you would, if you've got your Bible open still. He said, whensoever I take my journey into Spain, I'll come to you, for I trust to see you in my journey. Not only are they already spreading the message, but they desire to see us. I'll come to you, verse number 24. Look down in verse number 25. I shall come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. We see that they also not only spreading the message, but they have a desire to come and see us. I've spent some time with Graham Foran since he's been back, and he's got a great desire to reconnect with the people who he left so many years ago. But then he's also enjoying getting to know others of you, that as he settles back into life here in the Tri-Cities, getting to know people. His desire is, I talked to a missionary that's going to be with us this Wednesday, and his heart was, we'd love to come and meet your people. And I know some of us might say, well, yeah, they'd love to have support. And they do love that, because that's getting them closer to where God has called them to be. But they love more than that. I talk to them again and again, and they love the camaraderie, and they love the fellowship, and they love the encouragement, and they love the church chance to be in church and get to worship the Lord. I'm saying that they desire to be with us. But I got to tell you this other story that's happening right into here. You see in verse number 25, he said, but having no more place in these parts, I have a great desire these many years to come to you. This group of Christians in Rome, of which Paul probably had never been, they don't think. But he said, I'm going to get there. And he says in verse number 26, it hath pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia to make certain contribution for the poor saints which are at Jerusalem. So here's the story. He says in verse number 23, I'm coming your way. But before I get there, in verse number 24, I've got an errand to run. He says in verse 25, but now I go unto Jerusalem to minister unto the saints. Verse 26, he's telling about what this ministry is going to be. He's going to bring some collection from Macedonia and Achaia to the poor saints which are at Jerusalem. And so Paul wants to come to Rome. Rome's the center of the Roman Empire, which is the powerhouse of the whole world at that point. He says, I want to come to Rome. He hadn't been there yet, but some people that he had reached in another part of the world have the ones that went there to start the church, as far as we know. But he says, I can't come. I've got another errand to run. Jerusalem was the mother church, if you will, of the churches. They were the ones who were sent out of Jerusalem to go to start those other churches. But now those other churches, those baby churches, were collecting things because the people at Jerusalem, they were having some issues. And so Paul says, I've got to make a stop back by Jerusalem, and I've got to give them this. And then, I'm not coming to you specifically, I'm going to Spain, which was the furthest outreach of the Roman Empire at the time. But he says, on my way, I'm going to stop and see you. He said, what are you talking about all this, Pastor? Here's what I mean. Those missionaries that we have the opportunity and the privilege of get to support, they are serving others as they come our way. They're helping here and they're helping there. And some of God's choicest servants are coming through these doors. And I want us as a church to continue. We already do, but I want us to continue to try to be a blessing to them as they come through, try to encourage them as they come through. Just last Sunday, there was a missionary that stayed over in our ministry house, and he was there Saturday night into Sunday, but he didn't come to church with us on Sunday morning. He didn't come to church with us on Sunday night. Instead, he went to one church in the morning in our area and went to another church in the evening. And so we got to be a blessing. Your money paid for the water and the electricity and the different things that we got to put into that house just to keep him and get him ready, him and his family, to get him to the next preaching station. And although we don't think about that, it's a great joy just to get to help somebody along the way. And oftentimes missionaries will tell me as they come through, and they'll say, well, Pastor, somebody from your church gave me money and gave me this, gave me a gift, and my heart always thrills because that means that you cared more about that person's ministry than you did that $20 bill in your pocketbook or in your wallet. That meant that you cared more about what God has called them to do than you did a little bit of the money that could have been left in your purse or in your wallet. I'm just saying to this, these missionaries, they are serving others along the way, and we are so blessed as a church and you blessed as a people to give toward it that we're able to help them again and again. But this, my friend, is a great ministry that you and I get to have, and I never want us to be begrudging about it. I don't think anybody in this room is. And so I'm preaching in prevention because I think we already do want to help them. But let's, my friend, do more and more. But I'm going to give you the fourth one before we leave. Not only are they spreading the message, and not only do they serve others, but I want you to look in verse number 32. You knew it'd get down to this point. They need our help. Verse number 32, the Bible says, that I may come unto you with joy by the will of God, and may with you be refreshed. They were going to refresh him spiritually, yes. But if you look back in verse number 24, you'll see they were going to refresh him physically as well. He said, when I take my journey to Spain, I'll come to you. I trust to see you in my journey. Look at the end part of the verse 24. And to be brought on my way thitherward by you. Meaning that he was going to go on from one station to the next preaching station by your gifts, by your help and your hospitality. If first I be somewhat filled with your company, he says, I'm going to love it while I'm there, but then I'm going to move on. And I wanted us to see what great privilege we have as we have these missionaries and pastors that come through, but especially our missionaries, as they come through, that we get the joy of putting them, I've said this word several times today already, trying to get ready, thitherward. That means they're not where they were, they're not where they're going to be, but they're thitherward. They're with you. And so he said, you've helped me and you've brought us on my way thitherward. I'll be brought on my way that way by you. He said, I'm going to Spain, but on the way, I'm going to stop by and see you. I got a job to do before I get there, but then I'm going to stop and see you, and then I'm going on to where God wants me to go. I'll see you on my trip, and I'll appreciate if you help me along my way. Say, Pastor, why is all this? Why are you preaching all this? I want us each to see that there are some choice servants out there, our missionaries. And let us always be with a receptive ear when we hear about a need that they have. It's not only missionaries that come through here. Many of you know missionaries at work. I think about Summer Scruggs, she's getting ready to go to Botswana. She had different folks that were here on her commissioning service, not because they go to church here, maybe never will, but they came to encourage somebody along the way. My friends, you know folks that are busy about the gospel work, and we ought to find ourselves busy about helping those people be busy about the gospel work. And we can help them, true, with our encouragement. We can also help them with some financial support as well. And so I challenge you to keep a tender heart to the Lord when He nudges you to help somebody. Amy and I were on vacation 21 years ago in Niceville, Florida. And we went to this Baptist church, independent Baptist church, and I had known my bus driver back at home, my church bus driver, knew the pastor that was there and told them we were coming. Before I left, they gave me a check from that church for $200. I didn't preach, I didn't pray, I didn't sing, I didn't teach, I didn't do anything. They just wanted to be a help. They knew I was on staff at a church up in Tennessee, and they just wanted to be a help. Their pastor wanted to do that. And to me, not preaching, not singing, not playing, not doing anything, not teaching, they just were a blessing to me, and it helped Amy and I as we continued on our trip for vacation. You say, what's the big deal? Well, it's a big enough deal. It's been 21 years ago. I haven't forgot it yet. And what a refreshing time it was that church took it upon them to, I wasn't a missionary, but I was traveling through. My friend, I'm afraid sometimes in my stinginess, I have not been a blessing to people, but in essence, I've kept back the blessings of God on myself because I held something too tight. And I'm just challenging us to see those missionaries as they come through these doors, and as you know them out and about different places, that you listen and you pray and you encourage them and you refresh them, as the Apostle Paul said he was going to be by these people in Rome, and you be a blessing to them as they're such a blessing to the people because they're taking the same message. Now, please be sure that those missionaries that we help, that they are taking the pure gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ out and about to this world that desperately needs it. And in case you're here this morning and you need to know what that is, the Bible says that Jesus came to this world to save sinners, and He came to this world and died on that cross for you and for me so that our sins could be forgiven. And my friend, when you've got somebody who preaches Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven, He's the virgin-born, sinless, perfect Son of God, and then He went to the cross, He died on that cross, He was buried, but He rose again from the dead, and He's alive forevermore, and you get somebody who's that missionary that's taking that message around the world, or around the country for that matter, but around the world, my friend, you ought to pray for them, labor with them, encourage them, help them, sustain them, do what we can to help in their ministry. So missions, it ought to be close to our heart because it's close to the heart of God, because He sent His Son to be a missionary to save this world, and now He's been calling and directing good, faithful missionaries ever since to take that message to the world. We don't begrudge them. They need our help. And really, they're doing us a favor because I'm not going where they go. And so since I'm responsible to labor here where I am, then I want to help those that go labor where I'm not. And I'm thankful for our church that we get to regularly, I don't know how many exactly we do have, and I don't know how much money goes to them exactly. It's all in our faith promise and whatnot, but I'm just so thankful to get to be a part of this, and I know that you are as well. Give these gospel preaching missionaries the help that they need. I read a story this week. thinking about while I'm reading this, that, you know, all of our money one day will mean nothing to us. Everything that we value, if it's temporal things, everything that we value down here will be nothing. Even the gold, the silver, all the other stuff that's valuable down here, it'll mean nothing. But thinking about that, I read this story. During the reign of Frederick William III of Prussia, the king, he found himself in quite a bit of trouble. Napoleon coming in. He had been in many, many wars, and the wars had been costly, and the casualties high, and the resources low. He was going to try to rebuild the nation, but he was afraid he couldn't have the resources to do it. He didn't want to disappoint his subjects, and he certainly wasn't willing to admit defeat to his enemies. So he came up with a plan. He asked the women to bring together gold and their silver to be melted for the country to get resources back in their coffers. And in exchange, he gave a decoration, a bracelet or a necklace or some kind of jewelry. A decoration was made of bronze or of iron, which was readily available in that area, not very costly like it isn't now. And so he was trading them something they had that was valuable for something that he had that was relatively cheap. But on the back of those necklaces or those decorations and those things that he gave, is they gave in their gold and their silver, their values to bolster the kingdom's coffers. They would have an inscription on the back, "I gave gold for iron, 1813. And it got to be so known in that area, in their country, that it became unfashionable to wear gold and silver because it was showy and it was kind of bombastic. But it was a badge of pride, a badge of honor to wear one of the iron jewelries or necklaces or decorations. So much so in that area that that's where the origins of the Iron Cross, that later, sometimes in Nazi and the wickedness going on there, got used in other ways, but in Prussia and then in Germany, the Iron Cross, the Order of the Iron Cross, took its roots back from that because it was popular at that point to use iron as your decoration because so many of the ladies had given the gold, given the silver for the cause of the king. And one of these days, I realized that the money that we spend and we think we're good on because we've got a certain amount coming in on a weekly or biweekly basis for our pay, one of these days it won't matter a bit. But I do know that we'll be thankful that we kept a sensitive ear to missionaries as they came through. And if there's some need that God puts on your heart, all I'm doing, my friend, this morning is telling you to give to that person, give to that mission, give to that work. Because if God's gone to the trouble, nothing's a trouble to God, but if God's gone to the trouble of burdening your heart about something, then you sure can count on the fact that those people need it. God's got a great economy that the needs are there. He puts on the heart of us to fill and meet those needs. Isn't that a beautiful thing? So why help these missionaries, I ask you at the beginning? Well, one, because they're already spreading the message. They're doing the job. They desire to see us. They enjoy us, and they enjoy the fellowship. But they're serving a lot of other people along the way. And then I guess the last one, as I gave you, could have been the only point, and that is they need it. And so as we get ready later in the year, in September, I guess, we'll have our mission time. But that's not why I preach this message. I could take you back in the hallway here if you want to go and show you how God brought this message to me through this week. And I just kept digging in that passage. I thought, boy, that's where we need to be. Listen, folks, we've only got just a little time on this earth. Let's find the people who are taking the gospel around the world, and let's with joy write that check. Let's with joy help them. Let's with joy pray for them. Let's with joy encourage them. You know, there's some folks that come in this place and they're probably low enough to slide underneath that back door. But we're able to encourage them and bolster them and strengthen them. Be like a little refreshment to them. And I've watched you do it again and again and again. And it always thrills my soul. Thank you for that. Let's get behind these good missionaries, because they're taking the most important message. And if you're here this morning and God's moved on your heart in that way, say, I do need to be more tender to the Lord. I thank you for being honest. I challenge you to just keep that tender heart and honor the Lord with what He leads you to do. And if you're here this morning, you say, Pastor, I hear you talk about these missionaries. What about a missionary? A missionary takes the gospel of Jesus Christ, the message that Jesus wants to save every soul to around the world, and that same message goes for you this morning as well. Maybe you're here this morning. You're not even sure you're saved yourself. Don't know that you know Jesus as your Savior. My friend, would today be the day you would receive Him for the forgiveness of your sins? Let Him be your Savior. Save your soul. If you're able to, would you stand together? I'm going to ask our instrumentalists to come and play something through for us. And as we close this morning, it's a different type of message, I understand. I'm not asking anybody to commit anything. I'm not asking you to give extra. I just, like I said, I'm just following the Lord. Seemed like the Lord wanted me to preach to us. What a wonderful, awesome privilege we have to play a part in these missionaries that are around the world. What a joy. Maybe you're here today and you want to make a commitment to the Lord there in your seat. Lord, I'm going to be more tender to you when you move upon me and some missionary comes through. Then, Lord, I'll do what you lead me to do. Maybe you're already giving. Then this morning, all I'm saying is, attaboy, praise the Lord. What a joy. It's a happy occasion to get to help somebody in their ministry that the Lord has called them to. As our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, if the Lord's speaking to your heart, I invite you to come. If you'd like to come and pray about something, maybe it has nothing to do with the message, but maybe it does. The altar's open for you. And maybe you're here today and you're not sure that you're saved. You'd like to come and get some help with that. Brother Daniel's right in front of the pulpit I preach from. Would love to take a Bible and show you how you can be certain heaven is your home. Maybe there's someone heavy on your heart this morning. You just want to come and pray for them. My friend, we're just going to play through a verse or two. You can come and pray. Maybe you'd like to come present yourself for membership at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. This is where God wants me to be. Well, then step on out. Present yourself for membership. As they play one more verse through, if God's speaking your heart, I invite you to come. Let's pray for our missionaries as a whole. We won't have time to read them all, but pray for our missionaries. We're also praying for Ed Russell, Miss Pam's dad. We're praying for Judy Whitson. Praying for the Snodgrass family. That service today at 3. Praying for the Ball family. Rejoicing that their dad's in heaven, Grandpa, but also having a hole there. Let's pray for these folks. Let's do business with the Lord, shall we? Thank you so much. You may look this way. Well, thank you for being in church this morning. I can't tell you how much I struggled with this message, not because it's not a good one. It's fine. The Bible is always great. But just because you might be thinking, well, why would we listen to that? Why would we preach about that? But my friend, I've got such a burden. I want to reach this world for the Lord Jesus Christ. And we can only be in one place. If God wants you to be somewhere else other than where you are, then do all you can to get there as quick as you can. But if God's going to leave us here, let's be tender and sensitive to helping those people that are other places so we can get the gospel around the world. And that's my heart this morning. Thank you for listening to me, and I appreciate that. Well, I'm going to ask Brother Daniel to come up and pray for us, and as he prays, you'll be dismissed after that. I'm going to be back in the lobby. Amy and I'll be back there if we can do anything. I'm going to have our missionary stand back there with us. If you'd like to get to meet him, then I challenge you to get a prayer card from him. You'd be praying that the Lord would lead and guide him and provide for him, and thank you so much. I'm trying to think, is there anything else we need? All right. Why don't you pray for us?
Father, thank you so much for the day that you've given to us today. Thank you for this message and, Lord, the reminder, Lord, that you're working all around the world and that we get to be part of what you desire to do. And Lord, we do pray that you bless us as we go. Lord, help us have a wonderful afternoon. Bring us back safely together, Lord, this evening. I pray you'd bless those who can't be with us as well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You are dismissed.